So, a question is, could we perhaps cover item 17 now before lunch? Think we could do that? And I will have one speaker card for item 17.
Okay, item 17 is the status of the City of Santa Barbara's desal project. Item 17 is an information item only. Dr. Peter Von Langen will provide a status update on the City of Santa Barbara's desal project. This is a continuation of a discussion last covered during public forum in May in Watsonville. To allow the board and stakeholders to review correspondence, staff has provided recent letters between Channel Keeper and the board staff on this issue. This information item provides the board the status of the reopening of the Charles E. Meyer Seawater Desalination Facility and the status of the subsurface intake and potable reuse alternative work studies that the city will present at the May 2017 Central Coast Water Board meeting in San Luis Obispo. And just as a reminder, no action is required with this item. And now I'll turn to Dr. Peter Von Langen at the podium for his presentation.
Chair Wolf and members of the board, Peter Von Langen, Central Coast Water Board staff, and as John Robertson said, this is an update on the status of the desal facility that you learned yesterday from the tour that we had of the wastewater facility is reopening very soon and going to be pumping water probably this next week for putting into the water system in March, as early as March. So a little review with a highly detailed map here of the facility that we saw yesterday was the wastewater treatment plant there and the desalination plants just across the street on Yannanoli. We did the quick tour out to Stearns Wharf here where we saw a buoy offshore that is about a half mile offshore is where the intake to the desal facility is located, about 30 feet deep in the ocean in the Santa Barbara Channel. After the desal facility opens again, it's going to co-mingle with the wastewater treatment plant brine from El Estero and discharge about 70 foot depth and a diffuser system about a mile and a half offshore. So a brief summary of the timeline of the desalination facility is that it was first permitted and constructed and operated in the early 1990s. And then in 1991, during March, there was the March miracle that filled up Lake Kachuma after the previous drought. So the city put the desalination plant in standby mode at that point and then continued on with their permits to make sure that it was a permanent part of a permitted facility and put in the long-term water supply plan for the City of Santa Barbara in 1994. It's been in that mode since, but because of the epic drought that we've had since 2010 or 2011, the city has decided to reactivate the desalination facility. And as part of that, we amended their permit in January 2015. And considered it existing under the California Ocean Plan. There was a new permit, Ocean Plan policy amendment following that in 2015 that was adopted. And that policy for the desalination policy for the Ocean Plan considered the Santa Barbara desalination facility as existing by the definition in the and a policy. Other new facilities or expanded facilities that haven't been permitted require extensive studies and need to see if a subsurface intake is feasible and use that if it was considered feasible for a new facility. But the January 2015 determination as an existing facility and the definition in the ocean plan meant that the city does not have to do a subsurface intake, and we cannot require them to do so now. However, part of the permit amendment in 2015, the city volunteered several environmental projects, and these were written into the permit amendment. First was to put a 1 millimeter wedge wire screen intake, which will essentially eliminate impingement of juvenile and adult fish, and it'll reduce entrainment to some degree. And this wedge wire screen intakes have been put on the new intake work with the barge recently offshore of Stearns Wharf. They also put $500,000 to a Devereux slough restoration project, and this money was critical to getting that project going. There was other funding to do some of the implementation aspects of it, but that couldn't be used for the project planning. And speaking with Rachel Couch at the State Coastal Conservancy and Lisa Stratton at the University of California, Santa Barbara, Cheadle Hall Center of Biodiversity, they reiterated that it was very important to get that money to, so now that the project can break ground and restore 113 plus acres of estuarine freshwater habitat and uplands. And this is just west of the University of California, Santa Barbara campus. It's a very beautiful spot, and I highly recommend going out there at some point after the construction is done to see the restoration, or even now. It's very nice. I went out there yesterday to check it out because I heard that the estuary had breached and water's flowing in and out depending on the tides to the estuary. And actually, I saw a bald eagle walking back to Isla Vista yesterday evening after sunset. It was really nice. The third part of the environmental projects that the city volunteered and that was put in the permit was to study by 2017 to assess the feasibility of subsurface intakes and potable reuse. And that was put in the permit to look at that as well. So the subsurface intake and potable reuse studies that were done by the city, they first came out with a work plan, which we accepted in October of 2015. And the plans, after we reviewed the plan's public process that was done by the National Water Research Institute, NWRI, and they had an expert technical advisory panel that also reviewed their plans. So as staff, we reviewed the plans, the public documents of the meeting, and the comments that the technical advisory panel had provided, and the public comments, and the city's response to those. The city went on to do work studies based on these plans of using a 10,000 acre foot per year threshold, which was the permitted capacity of the facility by the Coastal Commission, but also the NPDES permit of 12.5 million gallons a day of brine discharge is commensurate with that. Santa Barbara Channel Keeper objected to our approval of these plans on the permitted capacity, saying that we should instead look at the 3,125 acre foot capacity that the city is going to start up the facility at this March. That was attachment two in the staff report, the Santa Barbara Channel Keeper's letter, and attachment one was our initial approval of the plans. Attachment three, we responded to Santa Barbara Channel Keeper's comments saying that we normally look at the maximum permitted capacity of projects because that's the maximum environmental effect. And also that timeline was very short for the city to do further studies of social, economic, and environmental factors. The city did look at the technological aspects of how much water they can get from a subsurface intake of six different types of subsurface intakes and at three different locations along the coast. And they also looked at the potable and indirect and direct potable reuse of using this factor of 10,000 acre feet a year. So the city will present these studies to the Central Coast Water Board at the May 2017 meeting coming up in San Luis Obispo. So the summary of the status is that the city plans on producing desalinated water this next month or two, and this permit amendment in 2015 from the Central Coast Water Board considered the facility existing, and so that the city is not required to do a subsurface intake, and we cannot now require them to do one. The city, again, will present their subsurface intake and potable reuse studies in the May meeting coming up in San Luis Obispo in May. And that's the conclusion of my presentation.
Thank you. And I have one speaker card. I just thought, do we have a specific question, or maybe we could then ask Ms. Kara Redmond. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. I appreciate you agendizing this item and postponing it until I could attend the hearing, since I was not able to come in September. I also appreciate your taking this item before lunch. So this board essentially gave up any authority it might have had to require Santa Barbara to use the best available technology to minimize the mortality of marine life, with the political gymnastics that happened when you approved the city's permits 2 years ago, turning back the clock and deeming that the city complied with the water code back then, and so that they didn't have to comply with the desal ocean plan amendment. Incidentally, I don't know if you've been following what's been happening with the reactivation of the city's desalination plant, but they've come upon problem after problem with the equipment that they were planning on using that from the old plant, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anything existing anymore, because they had to replace almost everything, including the soil that the plant is built on. The one good thing that came out of your decision to deem Santa Barbara's plant as existing and grandfathered from the Ocean Plan Amendment was the requirement to study the feasibility of subsurface intakes and direct potable reuse, or potable reuse. But then the city made sure that the findings of those studies were that those alternatives would be infeasible by setting that threshold for feasibility at 10,000 acre feet. The one thing that this board could still have done at that point was ask the city in its work plan to look at not only the 10,000 acre feet, which we understand, that's the permitted capacity, so it makes sense, but also what it was actually planning on producing, as well as perhaps a range of other alternatives. But it looks like that's not going to happen, and that is a disappointment. I look forward to the city's presentation in May, when they will apparently present the maximum yields of various subsurface intake technologies, as well as potable reuse alternatives, since many of them were likely shown to be feasible if we actually looked at the realistic capacity. By that time, the city may also report that they may not be able to afford the desalinated water anyway, since there'll be plentiful and abundant state water that will be cheaper. So we'll look forward to that presentation, and we thank you for taking this update.
Thank you for your comment. Mayor Delgado?
Staff, and it's kind of similar to Kira's last sentence or two. Since the city of Santa Barbara kind of chilled their progress when water became plentiful after Miracle March, Fabulous February 1992, is it possible that there will be another slowdown, or is there a different feel this time that they have a portfolio that this desal is more certain to be part of, and that they're, does staff have a feel of whether there's a potential slowdown or cessation in the near future if the precip was continued to be a yearly high?
Yeah, I guess the city can answer that better. My conversations with the city and seeing their reports are that they're looking at the desal to be a certain part of their water portfolio, so a certain percentage, and that'll change depending on future decisions like allocations from Lake Kachuma that are based on biological opinions and other rules about maybe not being able to take water unless it's able to flow out, for example. So I think desal is going to be a part of their water portfolio. And as you learned yesterday, they are increasing their water portfolio aspects of reuse of water, including non-potable reuse, but also potable reuse by direct or indirect, and we'll hear more about that in May.
So if I can add to that, Mayor Delgado, if you recall yesterday, the city communicated that they anticipated losing somewhere between 20% and 40% of the volume provided by Kachuma, and that by diversifying their water portfolio to a bunch of different sources, including desal, that rendered them a little less vulnerable to losses like that, you know, weather and climate issues notwithstanding.
Okay. And my only other question was, I realize I'm a little confused because we saw the desal plant under construction, and yet we're talking about, I guess, the intake. So is it that there's sort of two facets to this? One is the desal site, and one is the intake site, and it's the intake site that we're going to hear more about in May, not so much the desal site.
We're going to hear about the whole project of the intake water and the production of desalinated water at that point. We're also going to hear about their plans at this point for potable reuse, direct and indirect.
Okay, but the desal production site, that's all a moot point behind us, right, because that's already being constructed. So is it that the city of Santa Barbara still has decisions to make about the intake infrastructure?
No, that was a part of their already done project. They just had some issues with the intake site in that it had scoured underneath one of the intake areas, and so they were going to put in some pea gravel under that area to stabilize it and then possibly do some rock apron around it to keep from future scouring occurring.
Okay, so then the May meeting is the purpose just a FYI Regional Water Board. Here is the conclusion of what we've done.
It's going to be information on the studies that they did and where they're looking for future desalinated water, what intakes they could use for subsurface intake potentially, like the maximum volume they can get from six different types of subsurface intakes and at the three different beaches that they looked at that, and also looking at future ideas for potable reuse. So it's going to be an information item that the city is going to present to us, and there's not going to be a decision item there. It's going to be information of what they've done in their studies and what these studies will tell them, and then they won't make a final decision on their own until they have more information down the road with how much water they can get from Kachuma, how big they want to size their future expansion or decrease of desalination under their permitted capacity of 10,000 acre feet.
Okay, so then officially the city of Santa Barbara still needs to make decisions regarding their intake sources.
It's up to them to decide if they want to not use an ocean intake down the road and whether they want to try a subsurface intake, for example. If they want to do that, it's up to them to see what's feasible down the road under their needs for either desalinated water or potable reuse and how those fit in their water portfolio.
Okay, that's down the road, but they've already decided to use...
For the time being, the surface intake, the open ocean intake with the wedge wire screen that they put on there.
That we sort of visited yesterday.
We saw the buoy offshore where the boat will be back to work on it today or this weekend, I guess.
Okay, so in the very near term, they'll likely be using the open intake that we saw off Stern Wharf, but in the future... they may make a decision to augment that or replace that with subsurface intake sources.
Yes, they may make that decision.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Johnson, any questions?
No, sir.
Thank you. And, you know, my case, it's not a question, but more of a observation. When we talk about, water, this links back to the insightful presentation made by our state board liaison earlier, talking about drought updates and the importance in our state to look at multiple sources of water availability. And discussions were made about the increased unpredictability of weather. You know, so when the old expression of a miracle march that took place and turned the picture around, I mean, to use that expression, it is not good policy to rely on a potential miracle. So having a diverse portfolio will provide water security to our state. And you know, we had yesterday the declaration about the human right to safe drinking water. If we took 2017 at what was predicted to be a La Nina year, and we had another year like this, I think some of the presentation made earlier by Didi, you know, would show Katuma Lake, you know, being a mud hole dire consequences. So I think that the scenario that took place years ago, where all of a sudden, you know, we had improvement of weather and Santa Barbara decided, well, okay, we're going to mothball this plant. What is happening since then is more frequent extremes of weather and also lessons learned from the past that we have to have more diversity in our water availability, and certainly not being solely reliant on RO from seawater. One, the cost certainly associated with it, but also looking at our recycling approach, etc. So that's, I guess that's my observation here, and certainly look forward to get the update in March, and in May, thank you. Yes, because that would be then a very, very busy agenda in May. So thank you for correcting me. So any further question, comments? So again, many thanks for, you know, your input also. And I think this will close this particular item 16 and, pardon me, item 17. And what I'd like us to do is then take a recess for lunch. And how much time should we allow ourselves? Do we have closed session? No? 1 hour? We're fine with that? Okay, about 45 minutes. I think we can do that. 1 o'clock. Yeah, let's do 1 o'clock. That's a nice round number. So thank you. We reconvene at 1.